The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Notre Dame has hired first-time head coaches before. They've hired coaches in their 30s before. Could Marcus Freeman be the breakthrough hire?
And the Cowboys? Well, Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Zach Martin starting for the first time all year. Is tonight a must-win with that panel? Let's go.
Strong modifier.
Notre Dame first-time head coach hires recently, Charlie Weiss, Bob Davey, before that, Jerry Foss. Notre Dame coaches in their 30s hires, ancient history, Frank Lay, Hunk Anderson, Newt Rockne, among others. Promoting defensive coordinator Marcus Freeman to head coach, the report from Mick Assef, Yoke Team, is that it's going to happen. Harry Lyles Jr., you cover college football for this network. You're first around the horn. This is Marcus Freeman, first-time head coach, age 35, one-year defensive coordinator at South Bend. Makes sense for Notre Dame.
It absolutely makes sense. I think it's a no-brainer, and I think that Notre Dame thinks it's a no-brainer. You do not have an assistant who is 35 years old and black, and you are not certain about it because this is just not a hire that happens with regularity in college football. So not only does Notre Dame think it's right, I think this is great for the sport. I also think that if you want to look at a recent example of this, Oklahoma promoted Lincoln Riley when he was 33 years old, and he almost had three Heisman winners. I think this is a great hire. And looking at the more broad picture, right? You have Mel Tucker's big contract. You have James Franklin's big contract. You have this hire. These are all good things to kind of get more black coaches in the college football game, in Power 5. You need to see it happen with more regularity, and hopefully we can kind of bridge the gap on this disparity in college football coaching.
Tim Kalishaw, 35-year-old first-time head coach Marcus Freeman. Does it make sense for Notre Dame?
It makes a ton of sense. I think it's a terrific move. A lot of times these big schools are afraid. They feel like we've got to get a big name. We've got to get somebody who's already won and done something. I would feel better if I was a Notre Dame fan today than I would if I'm an LSU fan about their recent hires. I just think that's a good move.
Kalishaw, fire
sake. And let me say this real quick. In 2002, that's a while back, 19 years, we did a few rehearsals for this show, and one of the things we talked about was it was black coaches in the NFL, and did they need to win to prove, like, as if they were capable of it? And that's how people actually viewed it. And here we are 19 years later. The NFL at times does an okay job, usually not very good, but a little better, but way better, excuse me, than the colleges do at promoting black candidates.
Mina Kimes, now to you.
Yeah, I like this hire, too. You know, with first-time head coaches, it can be hard to evaluate them because they don't have that record to look at. But here's what we do know about Freeman. Notre Dame's defense is very good. They're 13th in ESPN's SP Plus rankings, which accounts for opponents, despite at times not having their star safety, Kyle Hamilton. We also know that his assistant stayed. And to me, that speaks to how he is viewed inside the building. The fact that they didn't go with Brian Kelly, which might be in part an indictment of Brian Kelly, but that says a lot about what they think about Freeman. Look, you mentioned Charlie Weiss and him being, a first-time head coach. I think actually Freeman's walking into a much better situation than Weiss did. Weiss joined a team that was not particularly successful. They also have the fifth-ranked recruiting class in college football. This is pretty much turnkey for him.
Of course.
He is being set up to win, and I think he will.
He would be a large reason for that as well. Pablo Torre, I'll bring you here. First-time head coach, 35 years of age. Does it make sense for Notre Dame?
Yeah, no, this is about the recruiting to me, guys. This is about a guy who has been at Notre Dame for 1 year. Count it, 1 year, and has won the support of everybody in that building, which is mind-blowing. He is a huge reason, as Mina alluded to, for that top five recruiting class. He is regarded in college football as one of the best recruiters in the sport. And if you're Notre Dame, what you're worried about, what Brian Kelly clearly was worried about, is How do we not get blown out by Alabama and Clemson and Georgia? They'd won all the games they were supposed to win. How do you take the next step up? You need the players, and this is their way to do it. So the fact that they have Tommy Rees still on staff and this dude on staff, the current players and the future players all on board with the first Asian coach also in Notre Dame history, half Korean, of course, this is a huge deal on so many levels.
Huge deal. You just called him this dude. You say the name, Marcus Freeman, please.
Mr. Freeman.
That Kalashaw hot take, Harry Lyles Jr., the better job right now, LSU or Notre Dame?
I think LSU's probably the better job just because of the easier standards that you have with recruiting. But I think for Freeman, he could make that a job that, honestly, I think he could do a better job at Notre Dame than Brian Kelly did because of his youth, and he will be progressive on the field.
Nina Kimes?
I would have to co-sign what Harry said in terms of LSU and recruiting and just being there and the history of that franchise. But again, like I said, like Marcus Freeman's situation at Notre Dame is enviable. I think he is really being put in a position to win.
And Pablo Torre, can you weigh in on the Kalashaw take? Notre Dame, the job may be over LSU.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I think LSU and all of the administrative resources, the lack of academic standards, relatively speaking, gives Brian Kelly a fuller deck to play with. But I do think that Notre Dame is trending upwards in a way that everybody associated with that program must be shocked to feel so good about.
All right, Kalashaw, pick up the pieces of your argument.
What I was trying to say is this. The LSU has won three national championships with three coaches in this century. A lot of coaches can win there, but that thing, that job is getting tougher and tougher in that conference. I think Notre Dame, with what it continues to be, and with a good young coach that will draw players, I think they should feel great about what they have.
All right. I think you should feel great about yourself right now, Tim. 12 points in the lead. We'll move on. Thursday night football, Cowboys Saints. Amari Cooper active. CeeDee Lamb active. All in all, it'll be Dak Prescott, Cooper, Lamb, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Zach Martin, DeMarcus Lawrence. You could throw him in there. Starting together for the first time all season. No Mike McCarthy, though, on the sidelines as he's out with COVID. Timmy, after two straight losses, what do you need to see? What's on the line tonight for the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, I think there's a lot on the line. Even if you look at the standings and see they're way ahead, there's still a lot. When you've gone from 6-1 to 7-4, you got to right the ship. And it's easy to say, Cowboys got everybody back. No Kamara for the Saints. This is a walkover. The Raiders were supposed to be a walkover. The Raiders had 500 yards of offense and another 100 in pass interference penalties. So DeMarcus Lawrence has to help turn this defense around, have them dominate Taysom Hill. They need to win this game. I don't care if the Cowboys score a lot, but the Saints need to score 13 points or fewer.
There it is. So must-win game for Dallas, and you're looking first at the defense, not all those offensive starters who are finally together. The defense needs to change the way they've looked the last 3 weeks. Mita Kimes, you see it that way?
So, yeah, I don't think Dallas has to win to maintain their lead in the division. Just looking ahead, outside of the Cardinals game, there's a lot of matches that they should win. But, like, spiritually, emotionally, physically, they must win this game. Because in New Orleans, they are facing an offense that is not only missing Alvin Kamara and down to their backup, maybe backup quarterback, depending on how you look at things, is missing both of their offensive tackles. Like, this is a virtual MASH unit with the Saints. Meanwhile, as you mentioned, you got Lawrence back, Micah Parsons, who is the favorite and should be for defensive rookie of the year. Absolute nightmare rushing the passer. If Dallas's defense can't stop the Saints offense, there are bigger concerns there. So must win? No. Should win? Absolutely.
Pablo Torre, what do you need to see tonight from the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, look, Tony, the word must has never meant less than this season, right? Every week it feels like there's an opportunity for someone to show that they preserve their dignity as a good football team, then they lose. And then it's like the next week, like, okay, maybe that didn't matter so much. What they need to do, though, is use the quick game in a way that the Saints are uniquely ill-equipped to stop, right? The Saints' defense is the worst in terms of allowing quick game passes. And Dak Prescott, who finally gets his receivers back, and by the way, Amari Cooper, unvaccinated, struggling through that whole recovery process, we will see what we get from him coming back. But the idea that he now has CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper back to do the thing that the Saints cannot stop, just keep doing that over and over again and take the drama out of your life.
Harry Lyles Jr., the one thing you need to see from Dallas tonight.
Tony, this is a C's get degrees game. Mina mentioned all the injuries that the Saints have. Obviously, they've got that great home field advantage, but they really just kind of need to get out of this one as healthy as possible, both from a COVID perspective and a regular injury perspective. You've got two more road games that are in your division coming up here with Washington and the Giants. Get through this one so you could be healthy and win those two games and go win the division.
Yeah, Lashawn, you want to add something on Dallas?
I just do think it's worth mentioning the head coach and six assistants won't be there. And that does make a difference, I think.
Well, we'll
I think
see.
Dan Quinn helps them. I do think Dan Quinn helps them recover. He's coached against the Saints a lot, but it's a very weird situation to Dallas.
A word on starting quarterback of New Orleans tonight, Mina. I've got a feeling from Sean Payton he likes Taysom Hill. I've sensed that through the years. So
yeah, it seems a little bit like it. I actually think Taysom Hill gives them a better chance of winning this particular matchup than Trevor Siemian, because if Dallas defense does have a weakness at times, it is stopping the run. But no Kamara makes it really, really hard to pick New Orleans.
All right. Kalishaw 18, Kimes 15, Torrey 13, Lyles 10. Fire sale on the other side.
Around the Horn is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. And in part by Megafood. For what matters.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Check this out, MLB.com today. Everything current has been scrubbed. No stories of the day, no photos of current players, no mention of Atlanta's World Series win this past year. A whole lot of history, but no present. The statement explains that limitations on content will display until a new CBA. There's a letter from Commissioner Rob Manfred to fans, quote, defensive lockout was necessary because the Players Association vision would threaten the ability of most teams to be competitive. Labor unrest for the first time since the 94 strike. Tim, I believe you covered that. I believe you're the only panelist on the show who covered it. Some think that that came close to killing the game until it had a chance to come back. Do you believe this situation is that dire?
No, it's not. That came close to killing the game because instead of just missing some games in April, which is what had happened before and which is what we'd be facing next year, they struck at the end of the year, no playoffs, no World Series. That's what set fans off, and some of them never came back. There's serious revenue issues, but I don't think they're going to be able to fix the tanking issue until players understand to have a salary floor, you got to have a salary cap, and they're never going to.
So you're saying players don't understand. Are you siding with owners here, Tim?
They don't seem willing to accept the fact you got to have one to have the other. They love having the Mets spend $262 million, and they don't like 13 teams that had payrolls below $80 million at the start of last year. To get those floors up and to make Baltimore and Pittsburgh spend, you got to have a cap and you got
to
have a floor.
Mina, talk to me about this. You started your career as a sports business reporter, and the finances here, that was $1.5 billion spent in the last 96 hours on free agents.
Yeah.
Where is baseball today?
Honestly, should have been an indication to everybody that this was coming, right? The last-minute spending spree. Tim is correct in that it is functionally hard to completely disincentivize teams from tanking when you do not have a salary cap. However, there are things that baseball can do to incentivize teams to spend money, perhaps raising the luxury tax threshold, taking away the system where teams have to give up draft picks if they make big splashes in free agency. These are things that I think the owners and the players can compromise on. But Tony, don't think that just because baseball doesn't start for a few months that this isn't a serious situation, because this is an issue that's been festering for a long time between the league and the players, and they have yet to arrive at
damage is being done. I mean, Pablo, you saw MLB.com today, and you hear that, oh, we're going to limit the content of the sport to the fans. I mean, is that dirty pool?
Well, no, Tony, look, it's dirty pool, but it's also illustration of why this is such a problem for baseball. There is nothing that stresses the importance of labor relations like a license-free video game. That's what baseball is right now. You can't use the logo, can't use the players, right? Like, this is weird. This is not what we want. That said, I do think that baseball will be back come late February and March, and that's because this whole story, and why I'm optimistic about a resolution, it's because it's as much about, can the players' union hold out as a unified front long enough? And I don't think they can. I really don't, because baseball teams right now, they've shrunk out the middle class. That's the problem they're fighting about. But what that also means is that it's really hard to get everybody on the same page. It's a problem that's plagued unions forever. It's going to prevent them from keeping a holdout going on for too long here.
And Harry Lyle.
Yeah, I think with all the points that just mentioned, also just the image of this, right? I don't think that Major League Baseball can afford to miss games. I think that's why they're ultimately going to get something done, because this kind of just turns fans off. It turned them off in 1994 when the players went on strike and they did miss games. And it took years for baseball to recover from that. And a lot of that had to do with what was happening on the field. And baseball has its own problems in terms of competition on the field. So they wouldn't recover in that type of way anyways.
March 1. Is baseball back? Tim Kalishaw?
March 1, no. Not a chance in the
Mina
world.
Mina Kimes?
I think so. There's just too much money on the
Pablo
line.
Pablo Torre?
Yes, the players will need the money. The majority of the players will need the money.
And Lyle?
They're back, yes.
Move on. Buy or sell two. From 1-7 to 5-7, Miami Dolphins have been on a run. Harry, has this win streak solidified Tua Tagovailoa's franchise QB status with the team?
Yes, I'm buying this. Our friend Marcel Louis-Jacques, who covers the Dolphins for us, had a great article about this morning, actually. And, you know, he did a great job of explaining that Tua hadn't been healthy earlier this season. He had a lot of serious injuries that were hampering him. They've added a lot of RPO and quick passes in there, which we know Tua's great at. He's a great talent, obviously. And the other part of this, too, is the Dolphins' defense is finally playing up to the level that people expected of them. They're second in EPA in the past 4 weeks, so he hasn't had to really shoulder a load that he had to earlier in the season.
Real stats from Lyle there, although some of those points still go to Louis-Jacques. Pablo Torre, how about you?
Yeah, the number here that I focus on, Tony, is 2.5. Because 2.5 seconds, right, that's the dividing line of a quick pass versus not a quick pass. Below 2.5 seconds, Tua is transcendent. He's as good as anybody. Above that, though, he is struggling. And so the question is, when your offense is entirely trying to be built out of RPOs, what does that do for the larger ceiling of the team? It does not feel sustainable to me. So there is good news in the short term, but the long-term forecast, to me, still has many questions.
Do you think they need more versatility is what you're saying offensively? Mina Kimes, how about you?
Arguably.
It's not about versatility. They need better protection. I mean, that is the problem in Miami. Tua has been accurate, decisive. As my colleagues have said, he is getting the ball out quick, which is why this offense has been functional. But he has had to get the ball out quick. And that's why I think he is the quarterback next year. Because if I'm Miami, I don't look at this team and think, ah, yes, we're a quarterback away. I think we got to fix this offensive line, because it doesn't matter who's under center. They're not succeeding unless they play better.
You're saying versatility is overrated then, okay? Mm-hmm. Tim Kalish, how about you?
What I'm saying is Tua hasn't been the major problem there at any point in time, and now he's showing signs of being pretty good. And anytime you have money invested in a young quarterback, you want to believe he's the next Russell Wilson from 8 years ago, taking you to Super Bowls or Pat Mahomes on those first contracts. So they're gonna give him the benefit of the doubt in the offseason.
Well, you mentioned the Russell Wilson from 8 years ago. What about the Russell Wilson from now, right? I mean, go to any football market right now and be like, wait, do we have a shot at Russell Wilson next year? Mina, can I ask you, is there a market? Could Russell Wilson be out of Seattle by next offseason? And is there a market for him, or is his struggles this year something more?
Well, whether he leaves is entirely up to him, so it's hard to project. But as far as the market goes, yes, it'll be there, in part because the market stinks. It's not a great draft for quarterbacks. We don't know what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. And Russell Wilson, I'll tell you, will play better down the stretch than he's played since coming back from injury, in large part because it would be impossible for him to play worse than he's played since coming back. He's got the track record. Teams will be all over him.
And also, there's good news, Mina. They just signed Adrian Peterson in what has been billed by the NFL Network as a quote-unquote win-now move. So congratulations, Russell Wilson. I know you wanted another old running back, so good luck. I'm sure you want to stay there for a very long time.
Yeah, I think that Russell Wilson's going to be fine. There's no way that he's going to keep playing at a low level because he's been so consistently great over the years. He's going to be fine, and maybe a team will be lucky to get him this offseason.
I don't think he's going to be fine, but I think teams will convince themselves these last 2 years, his diminished results, they can handle him and they can put him in a
situation. He said he wants to play until
and he'll be okay.
In the 40s, he wanted to play a 20-year career. Right.
Everybody does. I want to do the show till I'm 80. You know, who knows?
Do you have the versatility for that, though, Tim?
That's a long way off.
Harry Lyles, Pablo Torre, thanks for today. Mina Kimes, Tim Kalish, Show Showdown. 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by Captain Morgan. Bring on the spice. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Have you ever seen anything like this before? Arkansas Pine Bluff was trailing Iowa State 44-24, second half, when Coach Solomon Bozeman called timeout to make his players run sprints. Mina, what does this accomplish?
It accomplishes absolutely nothing, Tony, other than potentially embarrassing your team in public. They're playing a ranked opponent. I don't understand what purpose this serves.
Are you going to ride for this?
It's not good coaching.
For toughening up this younger generation, even though running lines or ladders nearly took me out of the game in eighth grade, Richardson West Junior High. What were you doing, Coach Corona? Let me just say, after they did this, they outscored Iowa State by a point.
Okay. That's not going to get you a point. That's going to make you lose a couple points.
Right back.
Mina Kimes, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Sprinting to the finish line. Tony, I just want to talk about my favorite story in the NFL, which isn't Joe Burrow or Devontae Adams. It's 30-year-old Cordarrelle Patterson, who in his ninth season in the league is breaking out for the Atlanta Falcons. Went off for 108 yards and 2 touchdowns last weekend. It ranks 7th in terms of his team's share of total offensive production. I love the story because he was taken in the first round, called a bust by many, and it's just a reminder that sometimes all it takes is drive, determination, and the right situation.
Thank you for that, Mina Kimes. He's also one of my favorite players. Patterson's cleats this weekend will be for pregnancy and infant loss awareness. He and his partner, Taylor, lost their son, Zion, in utero. And Michael Rothstein's excellent piece is now available on ESPN.com. As you know, this is something Samia and I have experienced. I believe there's no one way to grieve the loss of a child. I do know my experience is to talk about it and live about it. I know Patterson says he wears a chain for Zion. You guys might know this about me. I wear black every day for Amadeo. I wear these chains. For me, we say something like, it's unimaginable. I can't imagine it. When people talk about it, we don't have to imagine it. We can learn. It gets better with time and work. We'll see you tomorrow.